Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
So it's 100 days since U.S. President Joe Biden took to the White House during the worst pandemic in a century and the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression.
But times of crisis bring some of the biggest financial proposals and disruptive policies. So far, he has signed a massive $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill into law and beat his COVID vaccination target twice over.
Yeah, he also reviewed his epic $2.3 trillion infrastructure proposal and in his first speech to Congress yesterday announced his $1.8 trillion families plan.
And before he even started his speech to Congress, he marked yet another historic first. Have a listen.
Thank you all, Madam Speaker, Madam Vice President. No president has ever said those words from this podium. No president has ever said those words. And it's about time.
Nicely done. U.S. President Joe Biden speaking there. Now, on the line to give us some analysis on what President Biden has achieved in his first 100 days is Evan Resnick, Assistant Professor, S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies. Good morning, Prof. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thanks so much for taking this time to speak with us. As far as approval ratings are concerned, President Biden seems to be doing well. Over half of Americans say they approve of him. So, you know, on the broad, very broadly put, how do you find his performance so far?
I think that he has done a very good job. I think in addition to passing a massive spending bill to provide COVID relief and economic recovery, right, $2 trillion, that's double the stimulus that Obama received when he came into office during the financial crisis in 2009. He's also doubled his expectation of 100 million vaccine doses in American arms in his first 100 days. So he's well over 200 million now. So far, so good.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the economics, the massive economic plan. He's also achieved his COVID-19 vaccine target. But also, we made big of it last week. He held a climate leaders summit and promised to tackle systemic racism. What would you say has been his biggest accomplishment so far?
Again, I think the $2 trillion relief and economic recovery legislation and the vaccine dissemination, I think those are game changers. So it looks like the U.S. beginning to round the curve on COVID. I know we've said this so many times about so many different countries, but I think it does seem like things are going quite well for the United States. It's tracking, say, the U.K. and Israel right now to kind of seriously curb the pandemic, at least within its borders. So I think those are the major accomplishments.
So going back a bit further than the beginning of the pandemic, I just want to go back to former President Trump. I'm really curious to know, at this point in his presidency, how did he compare to how Biden is doing right now?
Well, Trump's presidency was one of just constant chaos and, frankly, ineptitude. The only piece of legislation that he was able to shepherd through Congress was the $1.5 trillion tax cut, which gave the economy something of a sugar high, but was not going to produce much lasting social change or economic effect other than dramatically increasing the national debt. So, but that didn't come until later in his first year. Trump's presidency was really characterized by a lot of sound and fury, lots of tweets, but not much in the way of accomplishments.
Yeah. But, Prof, it's interesting that you and Manisha bring Trump's presidency up because on the back of it, leading into the elections last November, President Biden was talking about how deeply divided the United States was and how it was about, you know, getting everybody back on track, everybody united again. Now, I know you can't really achieve that in 100 days, but is it moving in the right direction to unify this country?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question because on the one hand, Biden's policies, his legislative proposals, and these are massive spending proposals, right? The COVID relief package, the $2.3 trillion infrastructure package, this new families plan, which is $2 trillion in education and other sorts of redistributionist style spending, they're wildly popular. Mm. So on a countrywide scale, his proposals are incredibly popular. Where they're very unpopular is in U.S. Congress, which is deeply polarized between the two parties.
Yeah, that deep polarization is something that's playing into whether or not some of these bills that Joe Biden has wanted to push through will actually make it. So let's talk about the $1.8 trillion US dollar families plan, including expanded tax credits, increased child and family support, and an extension of free education. I'm quite curious on your thoughts around this because, you know, when I first learned of this, my feeling was actually he's going at some of the really the deepest, most lasting concerns about where the US has come from and where it's going, because he's talking about future generations here.
Sure.
Is everyone going to buy it? Because there's definitely a divide between Democrats and Republicans on short-term versus long-term.
Right. He's got permission from the Senate parliament. And the Senate is really where all the action is right now, because the House will pass, because all you need is a one-member majority to pass legislation in the House. That'll be no problem. Nancy Pelosi has pretty tight control over the House caucus. The problem is in the Senate, where you have this filibuster, where any single Republican in the minority can gum up the works and require 60 senators to pass legislation. But Biden's received permission from the Senate parliamentarian to go through this very sort of esoteric parliamentary maneuver called budget reconciliation. So he can go through this special maneuver another few times in order to pass additional spending legislation. So if he's able to pass legislation on a 51-vote basis, then he'll be able to pass this stuff, hopefully, if moderate Senate Democrats like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema agree to it. Otherwise, all other legislation, sort of non-budget-related legislation, is going to have to receive 60 votes, which means it's almost impossible.
Our colleague a couple of weeks ago brought up a very interesting point. If you're rich, if you're really, really rich, you find a way to keep your wealth or grow your wealth, right? So when you have things like corporate America and the wealthiest 1% of Americans paying their fair share,
right,
in a speech to Congress, obviously, Joe Biden saying this, I mean, how is that going to play out? How is that going to be received?
Biden wants to pay for a lot of this sort of gigantic spending by increasing taxes on high income earners and wealthy corporations. That sounds good. I mean, I think he said, you know, no family making under $400,000 a year is going to pay an extra cent in taxes. That's all well and good, but Congress has to pass it. And as we know, the Republicans, if they agree on anything with respect to policy, it is an aversion to tax increases. So that's going to require a lot of heavy lifting on his part.
Yeah, well, that might play into our next question, which is really about what the biggest challenges are that are facing or still hanging over President Biden as we look into the future. What would you say they are?
The immediate challenges are primarily domestic. It's getting these monumental, these gigantic spending bills passed through Congress, specifically through the U.S. Senate, appealing to moderate Democrats, who have now become extremely powerful in that chamber to get this stuff through, as well as trying to get some Republican support or making some compromise with the Republicans. The Republicans have countered Biden's infrastructure proposal with a $600 billion alternative. Now, you know, it's $600 billion compared to $2.3 trillion looks like a vast yawning gap. But for even the Republicans to suggest $600 billion in infrastructural spending is actually quite impressive. So I think that the major task going forward is getting this stuff through Congress and specifically through the Senate. It's going to take a lot of negotiating, and he's going to have to rely, the president is, on his decades of experience as a senator and knowing the byways of that chamber to get his plan passed so that his party can run in the 2022 elections, you know, with a head of steam.
100 days, but things are just getting started. We've been speaking with Evan Resnick, who is Assistant Professor S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies. Prof, thank you so much for your time this morning. Take care. Stay safe.
Thank you. You too.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.